Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch recently released satellite images revealing the devastation inflicted by Boko Haram Islamist rebels in northeast Nigeria. The images show over 3,700 damaged or destroyed homes in fishing villages near Lake Chad that were attacked by Boko Haram after the group captured a nearby military base in the village of Baga in early January. Boko Haram is infamous for its kidnapping of 270 Nigerian schoolgirls in April, who have not been seen since. For a week, Human Rights Watch groups and the Nigerian military were engaged in a war of words over the scale of Boko Haram's attack on civilians. Amnesty International claimed 2,000 people were killed after the attack on the multilateral joint task force base where troops from Nigeria, Cameroon, and Chad were stationed. The Nigerian military insisted that only 150 people were killed in the January 3rd attack. In releasing images of the destruction, Amnesty researcher Daniel Eyre declared, "These images show the devastation of catastrophic proportions in two towns, one of which was wiped off the face of the map in 4 days. In its 5-year insurgency, Boko Haram has taken control of a large swath of northeast Nigeria, and fighting has spilled into neighboring Cameroon. In the last year, over 10,000 Nigerians have died, and over 1 million have fled their homes in the face of Boko Haram attacks." U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is talking up establishing a new international force to battle Boko Haram. A proposed 3,000-soldier international unit is still in the talking stages and would need Nigerian government approval to go forward. Days after the Cuban government fulfilled its promise to release 53 prisoners described by the U.S. as dissidents, the Obama White House announced a relaxation of travel and trade rules with the island nation. The new regulations will lift burdensome travel restrictions for U.S. citizens who want to visit Cuba for educational or humanitarian purposes. The rules also provide new access to the Cuban economy for U.S. banks, telecom, and construction companies. U.S. agricultural interests are pushing hard to expand markets for food exports to Cuba. A 2010 Texas A&M University study estimated that easing travel restrictions and lifting the travel ban could result in $365 million in additional sales of U.S. agricultural commodities, boost the U.S. economy by $1.1 billion, and create 6,000 new jobs. While tourist travel to Cuba remains prohibited, the U.S. Treasury Department will no longer require a special license to travel to the island. The new rules also significantly raise the amount of money American citizens can send to Cubans, opening up new opportunities for microfinance of Cuban private enterprise. While there is hope for change, the 54-year-old U.S. trade embargo remains in effect and can only be lifted by an act of Congress. For a full 24-hour day, fraternity brothers at the University of Northern Iowa took to riding a seesaw to promote sexual assault awareness on campus and raise funds for a local crisis shelter. The actions by the fraternity brothers are more than symbolic. The students are also peer-trained educators to prevent sexual violence. At Colby College in Maine, men's soccer coach Ewan Seabrook urged his players to be role models to prevent harassment, dating violence, and sexual assault. In the months since the NFL domestic violence incident involving running back Ray Rice, activism by young men to prevent sexual violence has grown dramatically. Groups like Mentors in Violence Prevention and Green Dot are now active on 250 college campuses. Fraternities and male sports teams increasingly participate in events to raise awareness of gender violence. Still, there is growing resistance to gender violence activism on campus. Thus far, 44 men have brought lawsuits objecting to new sexual misconduct policies at colleges nationwide. One complaint at Columbia University declared, "There was a rush to judgment, pandering to the political climate on campus, and pressure from women's groups." This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.